This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com on the Wired Blog Network. This is episode 69, The One with All the Snafus. Hello again, everyone. You're back? No, you're not. We're back. You found us. This is a very confused Ken Denmead, editor of GeekDad.com, bringing you episode number 69. Please, no crass comments. Like we'll be able to avoid them. Episode 69 of the Geek Dads, and we have Geek Dads galore hanging out tonight, both on the actual podcast and in the chat room. We will say, of course, a usual welcome to Mr. Matt Blum. How are you doing this week, Matt?
I'm doing okay. Like you're breaking up like crazy.
No, you're breaking up.
Like yeah, something's weird with the sound.
She's maybe, breaking maybe, up, maybe, Captain.
Maybe we wanted to start this over again. It was sounded terrible. Like everything you said sounded like you were auto-tuned to me.
Well, I think I don't know how that we're going to avoid it. That's probably just Skype doing that to us occasionally.
Okay.
So
okay.
Suck right. It up, man. All right.
Okay, sorry. You're okay now, but the intro was anyway.
Okay. It's episode number 9 of ads. Elk. Oh, yeah.
That would work better if I couldn't see you.
Dang. Oh, shoot. Anyway, how you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well. It's been fun. Trying a few bacon related products, and planning on more.
This if you survive this, it's going to be a great series.
Yes, that's true. Hopefully there won't be more that taste quite the way the bacon beans did. Because oh my god, were they bad.
Yeah, the guys in house Wired were rather excited by this idea, and so we're going to have to keep these ones coming.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to do it. I think it's a lot of fun. But yes, the things I do for science, I have tried one of them. Now I have to figure out what to do with the rest of the 10 because eating them is totally out of the question.
compost? Yeah, it should all break down. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's God.
Pretty funny. All right. Moving around the room, Mr. Chuck Lawton, welcome back, sir.
Howdy, thank you.
Okay, moving on. We're going to get... No. How are you? How are you doing, Chuck?
Pretty good. We're not going to do a repeat of last episode, are we?
Yeah, what's your week, Craig? What's your... No.
No, I think he means talking about Maker Faire for the entire episode and not letting him talk about it because he wasn't there.
Right.
Well, I'm sure we can come up with something that you know nothing about.
I don't doubt it.
So you can just, you know, sit quietly in the corner. That's fine. All right, we will say welcome again to Mr. Michael Harrison. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic. I've had a
batching it this week.
Yeah, batching it this weekend. This whole week. It's been, you know, that combination of awesome and also kind of sad.
Oh,
yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
You know, staying up until 2 a.m. playing video games and then regretting it the next day.
Yeah, because there was no one there to Well, no, probably you were being tweeted to go to bed, but you were ignoring it. And
yeah, she's on the Pacific time, so she gets kind of confused. But yeah, things are going well, as well as they can. The house is a bit of a wreck, but you know. Don't tell anyone.
So you're settled in. That's good to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. And Mr. Curtis Silver, how are you doing this week?
I'm great. And at the end of the month, my cholesterol is going to be nowhere near Matt's.
That's true. We should have made that part of the whole experiment, Matt. You should have had a cholesterol check beforehand as a baseline.
Yeah.
And see how many posts it takes until you have to have that bypass.
It could be a bacon bypass. Okay, that wasn't mine.
Rat bacon around my arteries. You know?
Yeah. They do give you pig arteries usually, so.
There you go.
Well, yeah, I guess there you go. I'm hoping that, you know, since I'm not trying these in huge quantities, that it won't affect, you know, affect my body too much. That's my hope.
Yeah, that's your hope. We'll see.
If you're not doing huge quantities, then you're not doing it right. Come on. Bacon's meant to be eaten by the handful.
Well, maybe that's that may be part of the whole experiment here, is which of the stuff is actually good enough to be bacon worthy of mass consumption.
That's there you true. Go. Yeah, I literally, I don't think I could have eaten another one of those beans without like a gun to my head, you know. But so,
a gun wrapped in bacon. Bacon bullets. A shot of taste in every puzzle flash, yes.
Matt, should we open it up to the chat room to see if you need to do one live here on the podcast?
Oh.
One of the beans? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I have to turn my webcam on for the full effect. I already put a picture of myself making that face in the post, you know. Man.
Yeah, but we want to hear it.
Right. They smell pretty bad. I mean, because it's just this. They're jelly beans, but they smell like smoke. And it's just like this sickly sweet smoke, is the best I can describe it. And so I didn't want to, you know, I tasted it knowing that it was not going to be a good taste. But was not quite prepared for just how bad it was going to be.
I don't know. I think it could be Pulitzer winning journalism.
And then my kids did try it also, but they each spit it out. I actually swallowed it myself, but they each spat out the bean before actually swallowing it, which I can't blame them, really.
Well, you took one for the team here, man.
Yeah.
Now the chocolate, feeling there will be more.
The chocolate wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't bad. It was certainly edible. I need it again. It just, you know, I wouldn't rush out and, you know, spend a lot of money on it again. But I
have a feeling that's one of those things that probably works best fresh.
That's probably
like
true.
A nice crispy piece of bacon quickly dipped in dark chocolate.
Yeah, I might do that actually.
Yeah.
I've been getting, you know, since the post went up and since it hit the front page, I've been getting tons of tweets, and I've gotten at least like 20 emails, people suggesting all sorts of different things, from like recipes that use it to products that use it. I've actually thought I might contact Jamie at Pinky to see if, since they have a whole bunch of things, including the beans, mind you, in their stock, to see if they'd want to, you know, get a plug in there in the post in exchange for
you probably wouldn't have a problem getting that problem. Yeah
I gotta say the bacon flavored mints I'm not really looking forward to, but I'll try them, you know.
The bacon awesomeness is going to come out of the woodwork now.
I'm committed to this. I'll try pretty much anything that has bacon in it for in the sake of science. I don't guarantee I'll eat a lot of it, but I will eat enough of it to form an opinion.
I'm getting pretty hungry over here, guys. So if you hear any sizzling as I cook up some bacon, just ignore it, okay?
Do you have a USB griddle?
Yeah, there you go, USB griddle. And
does the geeks all that? They need to.
I think there's USB fridges. I'm not sure about griddles at this point. And I don't think the wattage put out by a USB port comes even close to an Easy Bake oven, let alone a George Foreman grill. So
yeah but you hook it up to an i7 on a laptop, right? With a little griddle attachment, CPU cooler.
There's this thing about getting intense heat sources right near your computer, you know, which is usually frowned upon.
Plus the spatter effect, you know.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, hot grease plus computer.
I didn't say it had to be pretty.
I just overclocked.
That'd be effective.
Just delicious.
Right.
I just overclock my box and just fry eggs right on top of it.
Eggs and bacon.
I thought that's what the MacBook Air was for.
Right.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, so news of the week. There's actually been a lot going on all over the place with I could probably go on about crazy book stuff, but I do not want to default to that tonight because it would probably get boring very quickly. So.
Well, I understand something happened in San Francisco yesterday. I can't remember what it is, though.
I think there's only one thing going on in the tech circles right now.
Yeah. The iPhone 4 does look like it's going to be kick-ass.
It looks excellent. We got our 3GSs a year ago, so we're not out of contract yet. So we'll probably wait for the next iteration. But this one really sweetens the pot.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be putting in my order next week.
Oh yeah.
Especially the high def video editing on the camera.
Yeah, and that is, you can also do video conferencing because it's actually finally got a camera on the front as well as the back.
Right. Although at this point, it only works over Wi-Fi and only from iPhone 4 to iPhone 4.
Yeah, but still, it's better than not having it. No, I also like that they're also putting in the LED flash too, which I thought was cool. Right.
I'll be interested to see because the main camera is supposed to be very well upgraded. It's 5 megapixels now, which is not as hefty as some of the ones that are out there, but he made a very specific point to say that, we all sort of know that at this point megapixels don't mean everything, and it is the quality of the sensor too. And he made an important point to mention that. So, yes. I'd be really interested to see some actual looks and comparisons on the quality of the images that come out of the new sensor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was figuring that not that I'm going to be the only one who does this, but, you know, since my wife will still have her 3GS, that I can do like a side-by-side comparison, take the same picture with both. But, I'll be one of like, 60 or 70 bloggers who are doing that, so I don't know if I can beat the rush.
Now, what I'm looking forward to is just the new OS upgrade.
Right.
Looks like you already have it.
With cool things like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I'm probably under NDA that I can't do stuff like that, but it's pretty. The whole folders thing makes a huge difference in how you navigate the phone, and the background stuff is going to be really good. What's interesting is right now the background stuff works, but because none of the applications have been rewritten to take advantage of the API calls that implement it, none of the programs are actually using are calling on background resources, in the beta that's running. So all it really is right now is a frequently used programs list. So it's not until developers actually start rewriting their programs to add the hooks so that, for example, Pandora can keep playing in the background, or your Twitter client can keep reaching out and refreshing in the background and then sending you push notifications when you get direct messages or, any of a dozen different things that can probably go. That's when we'll really see that start to be powerful.
Right. But I'm also looking forward to the increased resolution on the screen because that looked just really sharp.
326 DPI.
Yeah, I know.
Which for they're pointing out is, higher than the eye can actually resolve pixels. And the point, I remember having a discussion with Chris Anderson like a year ago about, bringing up the whole, Apple's got a tablet coming soon. What are you guys going to do? Is the print going to move and all this stuff? Well in advance of them putting out this the app last month. And one of the points he made to me is that they hadn't seen a good enough digital means of replicating the magazine experience was because the resolution of the screens were not there yet. What you get in a glossy, high-quality print magazine is close to 300 dots per inch, high-quality photographic printing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a major difference versus getting your content on the web. And, you know, he said, well, you know, it needs to get closer to that before you're really going to bridge being able to deliver the reading experience of a magazine on any sort of web-enabled device. And, you know, the iPad gets halfway there. I think it's at like 130 something DPI, which is good. But this new one, 320 DPI, I mean, that screen has just got to be the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen.
Absolutely.
They're going to have problems scaling that up to the iPad size.
That's a really good question. I mean, it's going to take supposedly the phone has double the RAM. Yep. The 3GS and the iPad both, I believe, have 128 megs of RAM.
Oh, it's got to be more than that for the iPad.
No, it was supposedly it's the same. That was my understanding. But so the phone now has 256.
Well, of course, the iPad can't multitask, so it doesn't need quite as much.
Yet.
Well, it's going to get the iOS 4 update, too.
I guess that's true.
It's just going to lag behind because obviously it has some fine tuning that's needed because its interface is a little bit different.
Yeah, and if what Steve Jobs said can be believed, then it's going to the 4 is going to have longer battery life. You know, for a more powerful phone, longer battery life. So yeah. That's pretty cool because they've got the A4 chip on there. And what was the other thing I was going to mention? The gyroscope. They put in.
Looks interesting. I mean, basically, we're turning it into Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, that's essentially right.
I mean, when you think a
little more sophisticated. But.
No, it's like this. It's like the 6-axis controller for the PS3, basically.
That's true, too. Yeah.
That's true.
It's got acceleration sensing, plus it can tell you where it is in any of the 4 axes, plus, and movement. And that's going to be really interesting. But is that just for games? You know, maybe some of the virtual reality, the virtual reality or augmented reality stuff can take advantage of it.
Chris Harrison tweeted about flying a plane with it, or an aerial, one of his aerial blimp things.
That's true. Absolutely.
Well, I did like the demo that apparently that Jobs did, where he apparently held it up in front of him and he turned and what was on the screen turned with him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Played virtual Jenga.
Yeah. And of course that's just what their devs just worked together, whipped together for the demo, But
all right, Ken, 9to5 Mac says that the iPad has 256 megaram.
Oh, it does. All right.
Yeah, I think the 3GS also has 256.
Oh, then maybe the new one's going to 512.
Sweet. Whatever it is, I'm stuck. Ever.
I'm stuck with a poor little 3G, so I'm not going to get all the good stuff out of the upgrade. But
I can't wait to upgrade from my 3G. Ugh, yeah, so slow.
It says the iPhone 4 is going to have 512.
Jenny's talking in the chat room about her iPod Touch. Jenny, is yours a first or second generation iPod Touch? Tick-tock delay. Third. Okay, good. So you will be getting the iOS 4.0 upgrade for free, by the way. No more of this having to pay for the software updates. And you will be able to get the folders and the background processes.
All the functionality.
Yeah. Congratulations.
No, I won't magically put a camera in it.
That it will not, sadly. But, yeah. I wonder if you can mount the, they've got the camera connection kit for the iPad. I wonder if that would mount on an iPod Touch, too. So at least you could import photos that way, easily.
No. This thing still makes phone calls, right?
Yeah, it's buried in there somewhere.
Yeah.
The
line item.
Somebody did the calculations and said that the iPhone 4 has 78% of the number of pixels on the iPad.
Yeah, that's crazy. For one quarter or less than one quarter of the screen size, it has 75% of the pixels.
Does anyone know how that's going to affect like existing applications as far as like the, I don't know, like downsampling of the graphics. Like,
he made a very, specific point to, he was running current apps on it. They were not upwritten apps, and the system scales everything beautifully. So, I mean, you can't see, you know, anti-aliasing, isn't it, whatever. It's all.
I think
isn't Apple's it exactly just, twice the size from 4A, but
4 times because they increased in both dimensions.
Right, so it's 4 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Apple's they're too smart to make it break any existing apps. I'm sure they were very careful.
Well, I know how crappy iPhone apps look when you run them on the iPad.
Right.
Right. And but the iPad is huge compared to the iPhone.
Okay. Well, the resolution though.
Right, but that's because the pixels are bigger.
Right.
Right. This has 78% of the pixels, but the pixels themselves are smaller. Obviously, because it's fitting on a much, much smaller
device. It all
device.
Looks beautiful and will continue to do so, and hopefully they will bring some of the scaling technology up to the iPad so that the former, you know, phone apps will start looking better, too. I think, it's all a matter of the OS natively recognizing the fonts and then re-rendering them at a different resolution when it's being doubled, when it's being pixeled up. You know, get rid of pixel doubling and natively render them at the better resolution.
Well, it's not just fonts, of course, but yeah,
right. Everything basically, but
right.
You said beautiful like 3 or 4 times. You got the Kool-Aid packet in the mail too.
It's magic. It's just magic.
Steve Jobs is the Wizard of Oz, didn't you know that?
Except even he is subject to the laws of radio signals and having over 500 Wi-Fi base stations functioning in one hall at one time will still completely overwhelm.
That was awesome.
That was so funny that they had to tell people to shut down their laptops.
Because that's the number of people carrying Wi-Fis and running and leaving their airports running on their MacBooks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much signal going on that it overwhelmed the Wi-Fi he was running off of.
I wonder how many people were jailbroken tethering as well over Wi-Fi.
Oh, there will be tethering.
Oh yeah, the tethering will come through.
So hobbled by AT&T that it will not be worth doing.
Right. Of course.
So it's kind of sad. I'll probably just keep my Wi-Fi and be happy with that. But that's yeah.
So especially point, since they're going to have the data limits.
Exactly the data limits. I mean, you know, understanding that they're good for 95% of people, but a lot of us are not 95% of people. So
this is quite true.
Oh, well. All right. So we've done our good Mac fanboy news roundup here.
The commenters will be out. Gross.
It's almost like
Curtis, you can come back.
No, go ahead.
Huh? I said, Curtis, you can come back.
Oh, hey, what's going on? What are you guys talking about?
I don't know, some phone or something.
How's that basketball game?
All right, so next, do we want to bring up the old Ultimate Geek Dad Father Today giveaway that's going on right now? Just a little plug.
Yeah.
It's pretty
lots
awesome.
Of people interested. Yeah.
You know, actually, I should probably bug Jamie at ThinkGeek to see whether or not, you know, what the sign up numbers are at this point, because I've seen it retweeted far and wide and reblogged far and wide. So,
well, sure. I mean, any package like that is going to get people to sit up and take notice. I mean, that's
it's pretty awesome. And we added the TiVo today.
Yes, I saw. This is very, very cool.
All right. Well, that was cool.
So if you haven't submitted to that, go and enter. Go to thinkgeek.com and enter. Oh, that's cool. speaking of thinking, I was just looking through my Overlords newsletter. Not only does it have your book, Ken, but it has, they're actually now selling Awesome Sauce.
Ooh. Maybe you need some bacon stuff with Awesome Sauce.
And it's a hot sauce called Awesome Sauce.
Well, somebody had to do it.
I guess so.
It adds hot and awesome to your food.
Yeah. I don't know whether to believe them, but it's really good, though, because if you look on their website at the bacon meats, it says that they taste really good, so.
Don't you believe it.
A more ringing endorsement has never been uttered.
Exactly.
So, but in fact, you might, maybe, I don't know, would you think they'd get mad at you if you actually went out and left a comment on the product and said, no.
Can that picture be an action shot?
Well, that's it. You need to put that up as a customer shot. Yeah.
I have a couple other pictures in the series, too. You know, I've taken one picture.
One of your kids throwing up.
I have a picture of my daughter with her hands over her mouth after putting it in. Oh, my God, I got to get this out. You know? So I have a picture of that.
There you go. Like, they're wearing the pinky t-shirt. Gold.
Oh boy!
I thought my expression in that particular picture that just said it all. Really.
It was well caught. It was excellently done. All right, cool. What else, guys? What else?
I wanted to give a month or so in advance notice of Nerdapalooza coming up in July. That would be July something and 16th and 17th, I believe, in Orlando. Everybody listening, go to nerdapalooza.org, check out who's going to be there. Z and I will be there representing the Geek Dead crew, and we will be performing a live musical version of Flash Gordon for everybody. Z doesn't know that yet. I haven't told him, but, you know, I keep everybody that incentive.
July 17th and 18th, yes.
17th and 18th, yeah, I just looked at my calendar and I was wrong.
Who's dressing up as Baron and who's dressing up as the Hawkman?
I will be the Hawkman. Right. Size matters.
Gotcha.
He will be the Baron, obviously, because he's skinny and can fit in the tights.
Somebody needs to take video of this, right?
Yeah, that has to be recorded.
Absolutely.
It has to be recorded in video.
I need to find wings.
Speaking of recording in video, did you guys get to see Adam Savage singing I Will Survive as Gollum?
No.
Was that from Woodstock?
It's from the Woodstock Chicago on Sunday. Yes, he sang. He sang the first couple of verses of "I Will Survive" as Gollum. It is really something else, and you must hear this. Really, I will see. I will find the URL, and if Ken enables URLs, I'll put it in the chat room at least.
Let me see what I can do here and see whether or not I could actually. I've been trying to make this work in the thing. Let's see if I could actually. Probably not.
We can all just take a break and watch that.
And then come back.
Yeah, here. Hold on. Let's just try this. Hold on.
All right. Okay. Did it make it through in the chat room?
No.
No. No? Here, I'll send you the link, Ken. I can't.
The chat room, tell us if you can hear that.
Oh, wait, does someone have some water down there? You want to give me just a little sip of water? Throat's all dry. Thank you.
No, I don't think the sound's going through.
Yeah, it's coming through here.
Oh, yeah, here.
I'm hearing it.
No, from YouTube.
I was a freak. I was petrified. Along. But they'll go back. like to point out, I spent 2 hours making this on Friday, and it looks like a fucking piece of curtain hardware I could have bought for 50 cents. But it's really nice and heavy. That stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I had known in just 1 second, you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go! Lock that door! Just turn around now. Cause you're not welcome anymore. Well, you might be trying to help me with the blinding. Look at it, Rumble. Take my plate out and die.
Was just too awesome.
That's just not my dreams.
It's an instant classic, too. Right? Isn't it really?
Any chance he's dancing around on stage like Andy Serkis?
No, he's not.
No, but if you go to YouTube and just put like an Adam Savage title, yeah, survive, there's at least 2 recordings of it from different people in the audience. It is.
The stuff in the chat room, I probably could have put the sound on in the background and had that still work. And they could have heard it in the chat room. We just would have seen the video on the screen. But I got to work this system out. But that was right. You know, it's been really funny listening to the different Woodstocks and seeing what Adam's been doing. And he's really sort of basically working on some serious stand-up comedy chops.
Oh, he really is. Being able to both imitate Gollum and sing while imitating Gollum. I mean, that if he wasn't already endeared to the entire geek community, that would have cemented it. But you know, it just furthers his legend.
Yeah.
As it is.
Frosting on the bacon, as it were.
Yeah, they had some great guest stars. I mean, you know, they got Peter Sagal and Bill Amend in Chicago, and then they got Neil Gaiman in Minneapolis.
Just amazing.
Yeah. Some great people.
I'm feeling like, you know, when I went to little old Woodstock 1.0, that was just the little bitty start of something.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for it to come out to the East Coast.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to get there.
Well, Paul and Star have promised me that it will.
Yeah.
They've personally promised me that, so I have a feeling it will. I mean, they both live on the East Coast, for God's sake. I mean, Paul lives in Philadelphia and Storm lives in the D.C. area, so you'd think they would want to do something down here. You know?
One would hope. Well, awesome. Any other before we get to Post of the Week?
Go ahead.
Moderator. Okay.
Yes. Who said I was? Go ahead.
That was me. I was going to mention the D&D Encounters season that was starting up tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure if you guys have read about this, but they basically kind of created this new format for like in-store games. You can basically show up at your local hobby shop and they give you a prepared character. You just sit down and start playing, and it's like a 2-hour session, and they're kind of strung together for I think like 12 weeks. And tomorrow's is the it's like a Dark Sun preview. So if you're familiar at all with the Dark Sun campaign setting, it was made popular in the second edition of Dungeons and Dragons. This is kind of the first glimpse, one of the first glimpses. Anyone who was at PAX East got to participate in some Dark Sun adventures, but it looks pretty cool. It's definitely something that busy dads might be interested in. You just show up on Wednesday nights at your local hobby shop and play for a couple of hours, and looks like a lot of fun.
That'd be awesome. I'd really love it if they would identify stores doing that at a good kid level type of game. You know, just, you know, keep it a little bit, you know, there can obviously still be hack 'em slash 'em, but have it be run for kid level stuff. Because the way it is now, my kids want to play. I don't have the time to put together full adventures at this point. So I need, you know, but I want to run some stuff with them like an hour or two a week and or get them to be able to play.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to check this out then. I know that the hobby shop that we go to is definitely full of kids. The previous encounters that they've been running on these Wednesday nights have definitely been kid friendly. I mean, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be able to bring them along. I've seen upwards of like three tables running at some of the evenings. So you could probably find a DM who would be willing to kind of take on a younger set, or, you know, do it yourself. You could definitely sign up. That's one of the cool things about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, into 4.0 anyway.
This is one of the best ways to do it. You just, you know, you can show up, and I'm sure someone would be happy to teach you how to play. Yeah. It's not hard.
You don't have to calculate any Thaco's.
Yeah, there is no Thaco. That's actually they should advertise that. It's one of the features of 4th edition. No Thaco.
No, I wanted to show off in the chat room here. I'm building my collection of stuff behind me for the podcasts now, for the video part.
Oh, I see one of Jonathan's Etch a Sketches.
There's Jonathan's Etch a Sketch. There's a Timmy. There's an R2 Pez dispenser and a Death Star Pez dispenser. There is a My Little Cthulhu. And my Tiki. So. Oh, and my screen just froze up.
Yeah, I figured that since the video just died.
Oh, I hope that doesn't mean. Ooh, I'm not seeing my recording actually recording anymore either.
Mm.
But you can still hear me.
Yeah.
We can still hear you. I don't know about the people in the chat room.
That's bizarre. I mean, not because. Okay, we're back after a couple of technical difficulties, but this may teach us that we're just going to go back and use the Flash app for Ustream after this, because got completely discombobulated on the on their producer software, and I think it totally choked everything up. So, lesson learned. I think we were pretty much through the news, so gonna say let's do a quick round the table of post of the week, and we'll get out of here. And we have in the pause, which nobody else listening to this will have noticed, but we lost Curtis. So I guess there was a basketball game of some kind on. I really don't know about that sort of thing.
NBA finals, but yeah, you know.
Somebody hit a home run and scored a goal or something, and so he had to go. all right, so quick post of the week, Mr. Lawton.
Yeah, remind me, I should have wrote down. Whose post was it for the Goonies 25th?
Did Anthony?
No, Z, I bet.
Oh, Z.
Z.
Yeah.
Z? Yeah,
it
was Z, yeah.
That was cool. The Goonies are great. My wife did not grow up with the Goonies, so trying to get her to watch it now is more than a chore. I did it once, and she was like, I just don't see why you like this so much. Like, were you ever a kid? I mean, come on. But
it's hard. That's sort of a movie that I can see how, if you didn't see it when you were a kid.
Right.
It'd be hard to kind of put yourself in that mindset. If you remember seeing it as a kid, it's easy enough to kind of be that kid again watching it, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But without that memory, I don't know how you do that. Yeah.
Although I think we can all agree that the deleted octopus scene was pretty bad.
Yes, pretty it was.
Yes.
can you do? What can you do? That's right. You know, and it's that, you know, there have been rumbles for many, many years that they might do a, you know, return to the Goonies.
Right.
But now we've lost. Have we, yeah. Who have we lost? We've lost.
I can remember everybody who's in it now.
Have we lost the one of the Coreys that was in it?
No, well, there was only one Corey in the Goonies.
Oh, that's right.
Corey, yeah, that was Feldman. I think Feldman's still alive.
Right.
Yeah, everyone from the Goonies is still alive.
All right.
Except for, like, you know, the
old lady and
the old lady, and I think, no, I want to say the one of the sons is dead or something, but
yeah, that could be. But none of the Goonies.
None of the Goonies have kicked the bucket. So.
Yeah,
that's true.
It is still their time down there.
Got to make it happen.
Awesome. Yeah, Josh Brolin can do it, and you know, now that he's becoming a big movie star with
that's it. Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex. Yes, it's got a mental block.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to work. Yeah, he's, you know, hopefully if he still, you know, has a soft spot for the production, he can help get it kick going.
I understand he's going to be in Men in Black 3.
Did I hear something about that? That's interesting.
Yeah, I heard that they're.
I guess Soderbergh needs money.
Uh-huh. Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, they're adding him.
Is that cynical? Sorry.
It's Sonnenfeld.
Oh, Barry Sonnenfeld, right, not Soderbergh.
Yeah.
He would have an interesting take on the Men in Black canon, I think.
Yes, I think he would.
There you go, yeah.
Oh, and apparently he's doing a remake of True Grit, directed by the Coen brothers.
That's
awesome.
That could be awesome.
For a Christmas release this year.
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, Josh Brolin?
Yeah, he's playing... well, actually, no, he's not playing the John Wayne role. Jeff Bridges is playing the John Wayne role.
Oh, okay. Well, ooh. Wow.
Yeah. It's also got Matt Damon in it.
That's a little scary. Wow.
So, I had no idea.
Okay.
The things you find out on IMDb.
Yeah. We were lucky enough that Z's post got picked up on IMDb, so that was kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's always cool when that happens.
All right, cool. Michael, have you got a post of the week?
Yeah, I picked Jonathan's post about why games aren't about winning anymore.
That was a good post.
Yeah, I think it was from about a week ago. You know, for anyone who still plays video games, I think things have definitely changed a lot. There are more achievements, and I think it's less about completing the game and more about, you know, more about finding every little possible hidden bit and bite in the game. And, you know, I think he did a pretty good job of kind of analyzing that and trying to determine what exactly the reason behind that is.
So is that a good, do people think it's a good thing, a bad thing, or just a different thing?
You know, I would say that Jonathan kind of took a slightly negative viewpoint of kind of the achievement craze. He made a comment, I think, about you know, games being made for the ADHD crowd, which I think
is trouble.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think to a certain extent, games are definitely, they can be kind of distracting. I've been playing Red Dead Redemption lately,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially Grand Theft Auto 4 set in the Wild West, and you can definitely take look back and say, okay, well, this current trend in video games of having countless achievements and, you know, counting all of the different statistics that your little on screen avatar does, how many people he kills, how many headshots they make. I think you can definitely trace that back to the, you know, the GTA 3 games that came out, you know, about 10 years ago. So, I don't know. I personally find it kind of helpful, being a fairly busy person, that when I play games, I kind of get these little victories as I'm playing them. And it's not all about, you know, okay, I beat the final world and I dropped Bowser into the lava. It's more about, okay, well, I got to this point and I did this thing, and that kind of makes me happy, and maybe tomorrow I can do something else that's kind of cool. So
yeah, for me at least I think it helps with the replayability. I mean, you know, otherwise you play a game, you finish it, you've won. Well, really, do you want to play that again? You don't want to play it again immediately. You might want to play it again, you know, 6 years from now when, you know, you've forgotten a lot of the stuff that you had to do to solve it, but mm-hmm. you're not going to play it again quickly. But having the achievements there gives you something other than just winning to try to do. And so that I just replayed Portal just because I hadn't played it in a long time, and they were offering it for free on Steam since I didn't have it on my desktop. And so I played it through, and I won, and then I went through and got a whole bunch of the achievements, like, you know, getting rid of all the cameras that you can. You know,
right.
It was kind of fun. You know, it was a fun other thing to do. And, you know, I didn't have to concentrate so much on, you know, getting to the final puzzle and defeating GLaDOS, but just on, you know, doing that one particular achievement at a time. So it's kind of fun.
And now there's the new version. You got to go through and find all the radios.
Yep, which I also did, actually. That was tough. That was actually really tough. It was harder than defeating GLaDOS, honestly. Some of them were really hard to get to.
Yeah, I think that one of the other things that he touches on, and that what was it called? The, you know, if Mario was designed in 2010, it touches on is the whole idea of like the throwaway achievement, like the achievement you get when you boot up the game. I think those are definitely pretty funny. You know, with Red Dead Redemption, you start off on your first quest and it gives you an achievement. And it's just, I know people, there are websites that are devoted to cataloging games where the achievements are really easy to get, so people can like bump up their achievement scores on Xbox.
We're back again one last time from technical difficulties. Hopefully my iMac is not dying and it was just the blasted Ustream producer app, and we'll just go back to the Flash app next time, and hopefully that's what was causing all the problems. But anyway, we've lost Michael down. We're down to Chuck and to Matt and to myself. And Matt, did you want to do a quick post of the week before we get out of here?
I think we covered it with the ones there, and I mentioned my bacon post earlier.
Okay.
But I'll just reiterate, if anybody has any ideas for bacon-related products, recipes, et cetera. It doesn't have to be food. Actually, somebody recommended a bacon soap that I might, I might try. And, just email me, matt@geekdad.com, or tweet me at Cerebus19.
Okay, excellent. Well, then I think we will wrap this one up, mercifully. And I will say thank you to Chuck Lawton.
Thanks again.
Appreciate
thanks,
you Matt, being on and being patient with this. And I will say thanks to Matt Blum, as usual.
You're very welcome. Thank you again for hosting.
And going through the pain here, man.
Yeah.
And sure. Thanks to Curtis Silver, who had to get off. And thanks to Michael Harrison as well. We miss you guys. And we'll have to catch up with Jenny on Twitter to talk about titles.
But, no, actually, she sent them to the chat room before.
Okay, I'll have to call the chat room back out. But anyway, everyone, thank you. Hopefully you enjoyed this this podcast, even with all the little problems we had. So this has been The Geek Dads, episode number 69. I'm Ken Denmead, editor of Geek Dad, and we all hope you have a great next couple of weeks, and we will see you next time. So long.
So long.